Welcome to the Creative Financing Podcast, where you'll learn how to structure terms and use various creative financing strategies to create profitable deals for short and long-term wealth. Whether you're a buy and hold investor, wholesaler, or flipper, learning creative financing will help you do more deals and unlock profits that you may not even know existed. On the Creative Financing Podcast, we break down actual deals we and our guests are doing and simplify the methods and terms used to execute these strategies. Now, let's dive in and create some terms.
Hello and welcome to the Creative Financing Podcast. I'm your host, Jonathan Gallegos, here with
Jeff Rappaport.
And today, guys, we're going to be talking about when things go wrong on a deal, how to make them right. And I have no background information about this deal, but apparently it turned out to be kind of a multi-layered creative financing deal for Jeff. That's about all I know. But I guess some mistakes were made on this deal. And so we're going to go through those mistakes and how you can make them right. And, you know, this will be valuable for anyone out there, whether you're a beginner or a seasoned investor, because at any time, a deal, you know, you can make a mistake on a deal. I've done it myself. And it's how do you make that right? So I think everyone can take something from this podcast. So let's dive in, Jeff. Tell us about it. And first of all, tell us why you wanted to talk about this.
Yeah, when I started thinking about that, first of all, this literally just happened yesterday and fresh on my mind. And I was sitting with Rebecca, my partner, and last night, and I tried to explain to her what I'm going to try to explain today and try to keep everyone like understanding what I'm talking about here. But what I wanted her to understand is how we ended up, and we ended up in really good condition. And but this is creative financing at its best. I mean, we'll talk about three different deals that all have something to do with this. And we've talked about every one of these on the podcast at some point or another. And then some miscommunication between me, the one of the sellers, and the title company, and how I resolve this and what it's going to, what's going to happen because of it.
Okay. So I guess start from the top.
All right. So some of these may sound familiar. If not, then you haven't been listening from our beginning, but either way, so it really started with, we bought some land a couple of years ago, and that land is now being, we're entitling it. So we're hopefully a few days away, a week away from our final approval.
And okay, so how many acres, and just for those of you that don't know out there, what's entitlement?
6.2 acres. It was agricultural ground. And what we have done is bought the property, and we are changing the use. So we were changing the zoning to residential. And initially we were getting 18 lots out of it. And then once they're subdivided, so now it's actually 18 lots, it's all mapped out and everything. They all each have their own parcel ID number. Now, what we would like to do is sell the lots. And we bought this property for $260,000 with owner finance. I think it was like $40,000 down and $1,000 a month principal only payments. And then it got kind of confusing. And the reason for it is that, so let's leave that deal because it's not important totally about all the details of each one.
Okay.
But I'll try to explain how they all kind of work together.
Yeah. But okay, the gist of it is you bought some land, seller finance, and then you guys were going through the process of entitling that land, meaning papering the lots so that a builder can just come in and get the permits, and they don't have to submit for approval, but they can just pull permits and
yeah, they'll put in the curb and the gutter, all of that. The utilities are already there. this isn't going to be a land podcast episode, but
okay.
Basically, yeah. So we'd be selling to a builder.
Yeah. Okay.
We had another deal where we structured it as we were going to sell. We structured it on owner finance. We were going to sell on owner finance and kind of stay in the middle, but it needed some rehab work. And I had a partner that wanted to rehab it, and he was fairly new, so I allowed him to do it. And it turned out absolutely beautiful, but we spent a lot of money on it. And now we had to kind of sell it outright because it wouldn't make sense to leave all of that money into the property, right? Mm-hmm. So our seller did not want to get paid off and agreed to substitute the collateral so that we continue to make payments to him for up to 3 years. Our rehab took about 6 months. And in return, what we did is we make payments to him each month. He's gaining that interest, but he really doesn't want that tax consequence right now. And so we have use of like almost $400,000 that sits in an escrow account. And as long as we use it where he is getting at least as much equity as he had in his property, basically we can use it for any other real estate deals. And the good part is that the terms that we negotiated are kind of my simple interest hybrid kind of deal with 2.5%. We pay $2,000 a month, but a very large portion, probably almost $1,200 a month, goes toward principal. So
yeah,
every time we make a payment, we're gaining some equity in the property.
Yeah, and just for our audience, sorry, Jeff, didn't mean to cut you off. Just for our audience out there, both of these deals we have talked about on, I think, a couple episodes, probably three episodes. We've talked about your land deal, and we've talked about this substitution of collateral.
Yeah.
So I just wanted to put that out there. Guys, I don't know what episodes those are, so you'd have to go back and find them in our archive.
Yep. Well, and then the third one is very similar too, and we've also talked about it. It was a townhome. This was more recent. This was, it's January now. This was during the summer, so maybe 6 months ago. And this deal wasn't great, but the seller was willing to finance the property, and he insisted that I do not pay him off for 4 years. And I said, really, the only way I can do that is if I do cash out this note that we use substitution of collateral, which allows me to use that money elsewhere, again, protecting him by making sure he is in as good, if not better, position than he was on the townhome. And so the deal was on that is he was financing $194,000 at 2.5% interest, $600 a month payment for 4 years. Okay. What happened was my very first buyer loved the townhome and wanted it and could get financing through a bank. My goal was I was going to buy it on terms, sell it on terms, remain in the middle with some cash flow and get paid a little bit up front and get paid again at the end.
Yeah.
But it didn't work out because my buyer really wanted the property. And yeah, at that time, I think interest rates were like 3.7 or something like that. And there was no way, I wanted like 5.25. And it just wouldn't make sense. So I really had a choice. And the choice was, do I just sell this outright and take a very modest profit, but have use of this money for the next 4 years to use how I see fit? Or do I move on and try to find another buyer that would be more interested in the terms?
Okay.
So I chose to take the cash out option, and this money has been sitting. I have not used it. I've tried. It just hasn't worked out yet. And that doesn't help me, right? I'm still paying the $600 a month payment. on money that's sitting in escrow.
Yeah.
Well, now let's get to how this all, what's happened here. On the land deal, so we have borrowed some money. We've actually cashed out the seller's equity for a discount. So we actually took some of our proceeds from the first substitution of collateral deal, and we ended up paying the seller his equity. In return for getting paid off early, he took a $15,000 discount. So but we're using one proceeds from one deal to pay off another, but we got a discount on the price on the note.
Okay.
Following so far?
Yeah, for the land deal, you said.
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay. There were two loans on the land that are actually HELOCs. And you know, they're not very much. They're probably 80 grand total.
Okay.
Well, every month I call the bank and I make a payment over the phone. It's like $500 a month combined. And last month, the lady that I talked to thought I was the owner. I call them every month and make this payment. And she's like, "So what are you planning on doing? The loans are coming due next month." And I'm like, "What?" And I had no idea that was going to occur. And I said, "Well, what about an extension?" And she's like, "Yeah, I'll have to talk to my manager. And because I really feel like we only need a few months and we'll be done with this project."
Okay.
So I really didn't want to cash it out. But they came back and they said they would do an extension, but they have all this paperwork to fill. It's like applying for a new loan. And yeah, tax returns and everything. And the seller hasn't been filing taxes. So all of a sudden it's become very, basically impossible to get the extension. So now what we'd have to do is cash out these two loans in first position. Remember, we borrowed some money to pay off the seller previously. It was actually in third position behind both of these loans. Okay.
The seller was.
Yeah. So okay. This is
what second, and then he took a third.
Right.
And you paid him out. You cashed him out of the deal. Okay.
Correct. Okay. So now what we've got is I thought, hey, I've still got this $194,000. I'd like to take $80,000 or $90,000. Put it in first position on the land, cash out these two equity lines. Super safe investment, right? I mean, you're behind a bigger second mortgage and the property is worth considerably more than the 80 grand that or 90 grand. So should be totally easy, right?
Yeah.
So I contacted the previous seller that had the note for $194,000. And I told him that's what I wanted to do. And he said, "I don't know why you're asking me, because I still have a trust deed and note on the townhome." And I'm like, "I sold the townhome. The townhome is gone." And he said, "Well, I've never released anything. And in my paperwork, I made it very clear that I never want to be without a trust deed on a property." And I'm like, "Well, I don't know how that's going to be possible. I can't always determine exactly when people are going to buy or refinance and that I can move your trust deed to some other property. What happens is it's been sitting in this trust account for like 6 months." And he was totally surprised by that whole thing. It was like he had known nothing about it.
Interesting.
And he had some issues. So this literally just happened yesterday, and he has a funeral going on today, and then he's going in for pretty major surgery on Monday. And so I'm trying to work this out, yet I feel super bad for him because, he's dealing with life issues, and he certainly doesn't want to be dealing with this right now.
No.
But I really needed this money, and it makes the most amount of sense. I mean, I'm already paying $600 a month, whether it's sitting or it's being used. I just assume it's being used.
Yeah, yeah.
So what happened was, is that we went back and forth, and I still couldn't figure out what in the world he kept talking about, this trust deed, because the people on the townhome got, the buyers of the townhome, got a bank loan. The bank's not going to allow that trust deed to remain in effect. The title company shouldn't allow that trust deed to remain in effect. And I couldn't figure out how he was still even protected. And what my goal was is that, look, if I'm not using your money and it's not secured on a property in first position, then it's sitting at the title company in a trust account. I can't access it, right? It's not my account where I can say, hey, give me 50 grand, give me 100 grand. I can't do that.
Right.
I've got to present a property. I've got to get his okay on it, and then he's got to sign off on it.
Yeah.
So we're having this conversation, and I'm like, I'm not understanding. He's not understanding. He's like, what trust account? You know, I never agreed to a trust account. And I'm like, I didn't agree to always having a trust deed. And so there's this disconnect, right?
Okay.
So we finally decide, he makes time, which, wow, what a super good guy. And by the way, super important when you get into deals with owners on with notes and you owe them money, treat them like gold, because I'm telling you, this guy didn't need to do what he did for me yesterday. And he wanted to make it right. He wasn't mad. It's not like he was just confused, and he had something in his mind of what he thought should be happening, and it wasn't. And so now it was more important. He wasn't blaming me. He wasn't blaming the escrow officer. He was, let's get this figured out so that we're all on the same page.
Right.
So we all got together yesterday, and sure enough, that trust deed and note is still on the property, on the townhome. And it's actually in first position, so it's never been released. So if my buyers on the townhome tried to sell the property or refinance the property, they would then find out that this is still there. And really what it would...
It's kind of a mess up on the title company's
part. Well, it would come back on the title company. Their insurance would be involved in it. And so he is still protected, but not in the way that he should be, right? This wouldn't be good. And so we had these conversations back and forth. And finally I said to him, I only really need like $80,000 to pay off these two loans, but I just thought it was too convoluted. He needed to know that all of his money was on one property with one trustee, and the note's going to stay basically the same.
I
pay him $600 a month.
And you can easily move that. What did you owe him? $160 in principal?
$194 is the note amount. Is that what you're asking?
Yeah, the note amount. Yeah, so you could easily move all that to the one property, right?
That's what I suggest.
Take that cash out, and then you would still be securing him in first position. You pay off that $80,000.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yep. So that is exactly what. Good thinking, Jonathan. So
you're going to pull cash out of this.
Yes. Well, I'm going to tell you what I'm going to do with it. So, what I did is I finally said, look, we're not going to get this whole thing worked out today. I mean, he had limited amount of time, and this isn't really what he needed to be thinking about. I just wanted to see if we could come to an agreement where we were all okay with right now. And then we'll deal with, in like 3-4 weeks, the whole trust account, because now he's a little more open to understanding what's going on. And he wanted to have a conversation with the attorney to make sure the trust account is government insured, that this company's not going to just go out of business and he's going to lose his money if it was sitting there, that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
But so what I suggested is, why don't we just put the whole 194,000? It's certainly still enough equity, still be in first position. The thing that I'd have to do is go work out with my other lender that he would have to subordinate, continue to remain in a junior lien position. However, mm-hmm. we got rid of one loan. We were actually getting rid of two loans, putting one loan. So he's moving up from third position to second. Yeah. But it is behind a bigger loan. So now it's 194 instead of 80.
And again, this is just the substitution of collateral that you moved from the one single family home over to this land.
That's right. And it's a little complicated.
Yeah, but he was, yeah, you're right. He was already in third position because there was a first and a second.
That's right.
He's in third. He should be happy to at least move up to second.
He's moving up to second, but he is there is going to be a bigger note in front of him.
In first position.
To be honest, we've already done a number of deals with him, and he trusts us that we know what we're doing, and so he's much simpler to work with right now because we've used his money numerous times.
And, yeah.
Plus, we actually pay him additional money to take a second position. So
he earns a little more.
Yeah, and that's what he likes. So he'd prefer that. And so that's worked out really well.
Good.
Now, what we could have done, let's say that this all fell apart, right? And my seller said, no, I can't get this worked out. I'm not comfortable loaning on land. I don't want to do this right now. Well, we have a bit of an issue because these loans are due and they're going to need to be paid off. And I don't feel like there's this absolute urgency that they've got to be paid off like Monday, but eventually they're going to want their money. And if we don't give it to them, they'll start a foreclosure process. And right. I didn't want to put the previous owner in that position, and this land is well worth it to us, right? I mean, we're going to make a significant amount of money. We've got to protect our investments. And what are some of the other ways that we could have dealt with this? Well, I could have gone and borrowed hard money, right? I mean, $80,000 on even the property that we bought for $260,000, is a pretty low loan to value in first position, mm-hmm. but I really didn't want to pay hard money rates. I'm not sure this could be done in 60 days or it could be 6 months. I don't know. And I really didn't want to have to deal with replacing the hard money after we get it and then paying them off and having to deal with it all over again.
Yeah.
What we could have done is gone back to our first substitution of collateral lender, because we still have money from him sitting in an account. We would have wanted to create a new note in first position because, again, we pay him additional money for taking
or a second or a third.
Right. Yeah. So I don't want it all combined because it's this loan started 4 or 5 months ago. He's gaining interest on that. If we just added to that, now I'm paying additional interest and it probably is starting 4 or 5 months ago.
Yeah.
It would really complicate things.
Yeah.
So I'd go back to him and say, look, I want to, and he probably would be fine with it, but does he really want to make a first mortgage where he's not really getting anything additional? Because that's why, that's why we did the substitution of collateral mm-hmm. in the first place. So he's not getting anything for it. He's still getting paid that $2,000 a month, as opposed to he's got like $160,000 in second position where we're actually paying him like 5.5% more on that money annualized, and which is a good return for him. So now he's actually getting, we had a 2.5% interest for him. Now we have a 5.5 that we add to it. So he's getting a total of 8 when he's got this money invested with us in a second position. And then what we do is when we cash this out, we pay him that interest outside of closing. So we'll write him a check separate. Then the rest of the money will go back to the escrow account. Are you following me?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. So the good thing is it all worked out, right? So now he's already signed the new trust deed. We're good. So what's going to happen? So let me tell you why this is really good. So I'm going to pay off the 80 grand, right? And yeah. I'm in no rush now to, I don't have to worry about any kind of urgency, right? We're good. And I'm going to put probably $20,000 additional money in our account so that every month when we pay both of these people, $2,600, that money, I'm going to pay them with their own money. And so it doesn't have to come out of my pocket or my partner's pocket.
Nice.
And now I should have, you know, probably about $95,000, $94,000 left over. So that will go to me, and I will hold that money and do with it what I see fit. Well, it just so happens, we got a pre-foreclosure lead yesterday that I am going to their property today. It's going to sale on Wednesday, so you know, it's a quick turnaround kind of deal. And I will reinstate the loan, which will probably be $15,000. But they're probably going to get somewhere between $40,000 and $60,000 in equity.
Okay.
And guess what? I now have that money that's already being paid for. So it's basically free money for me to go buy this property. I am literally going to just go. I've got to give them a few weeks to move out. And we'll go and spiff it up, which I now have the money to go do. Not my money. Money set aside to do this. And then we'll put it right back on the market and sell it. That money will come back. I'll keep that aside. That's not just money I can go play with and do whatever I want. I can't go you know, to Europe on this money. I'm not buying a new Ferrari or anything, or whatever it may be. But that money is there that now I have access to whenever I need it for deals like that. And yeah. That deal will probably net, you know, another $30,000 or so, all because I was able to move some things around, something that was going totally in the wrong direction. Now, it's not totally fixed yet, but we'll fix it in the next month as he's recovering from his surgery. But at least temporarily, this helps me tremendously.
Yeah. So by fixing it, he's going to move a new trust deed and note to the land deal. And yep. Then he's going to release the trust deed that's on the townhome that you already sold.
That's right. So now my new buyers of the townhome won't have an issue. My title, my escrow officer won't have an issue. And I actually have use of these funds that I really haven't had use of yet.
Yeah, and he's secured in first position on this land that's worth what, $280,000?
Well, it's worth more than that, but
well, especially once you get it entitled, then it's worth more than that.
Well, and it's already. I told him, yeah, even the most conservative as agricultural land, it's probably worth $500,000.
Nice. So he's well secured.
Yes,
you've moved that money. So that it's just not, you're not paying interest on money that's not working for you.
That's right.
And you freed up some extra funds to do another deal. So yeah, it became a better deal because you were able to free up funds. You were able to move money that wasn't yielding anything into a higher yield on this land deal. And then you washed away the urgency with those loans that were coming due.
That's right.
And you've given him a first position, so you've secured this guy again in first position on a property. He has way more equity in than he did on his townhome.
Oh, way more. I mean, the townhome was worth probably $220,000, and you know, he lent $194,000 on it.
So yeah, So I see how this whole thing played out. To our listeners out there, if you're a little confused, it's kind of convoluted because it's multi-layered. And he moved money from here to there to here to there, right? So he kind of moved money back and forth. But ultimately, in the end, if you're good at using creative financing, and I think this is the point, is that you're able to find people that are willing to lend you money, which you've done, Jeff, with two different people. Yep. And they're okay with substituting the collateral or, you know, moving their trust deed or mortgage to another property and still giving you that money. So if you're good at creating terms, and if you do this long enough, like you have, Jeff, you're going to find those people out there. And as long as you have good relationships with them and you're honest with them and upfront, like you are, Jeff, and you have integrity there, you can do more creative financing deals, because really that's what you're doing. You're freeing up more money to do another creative financing deal where you're reinstating a loan, spiffing up a property, reselling it, and then making a profit on that, right?
Well, and here's, you are exactly right. And, you know, and I told my seller yesterday that I have probably made 50, 80, 100 offers trying to use his money to, and it just for whatever reason, sellers haven't taken that offer. And I told them I'm super picky of where I'm going to use your money, because I want you to be secure and I want you to be safe in that new investment. I am not just going to go put it somewhere and hope this is your money. And he kept saying, I don't understand why you keep saying it's my money. It's not. And I said, it is. It's the money that's coming to you somewhere down the road. And you're basically allowing me to use it. And I'm going to use it in a way that you're secured. And he appreciates that. Both of them appreciate that. But if you're like, well, what's going on in this episode, I would tell you, it's funny. I look back at a lot of our previous episodes and I look at how many downloads there have been. So, how many people have actually, listened to this particular episode. And a lot, the substitution of collateral episode, there's not a ton of downloads. And you'd be crazy not to go listen to substitution of collateral, because we literally have $600,000 at our disposal for 2.5% interest. Our payments are $2,600 a month. And a large portion of that, like more than half, is going toward principal pay down for us. You want to avoid hard money rates? Well, we can. We have $600,000 and we can divide these up too. So we don't always have properties. And then we worked out a deal where, hey, one of our lenders is willing to lend on our down payment on owner financing or our rehab costs. And there's no rules, right? There's no guidelines. When you deal with a hard money lender, they may say, we'll lend you 90% of the purchase price, and maybe we'll lend on the rehab, maybe we won't. Well, I don't have those rules. I'm borrowing 100% of whatever it is that I need, and I'm willing to pay a little extra. It's small amounts of money. Right. It's meaningless. But to have that access and that flexibility, if I wanted to just take that money and put it into a good cash flowing property, I mean, what if I just take that $194,000 that I'm paying $600 a month for? I can find a property where that will create a cash flow for me. Couldn't I also lend this money out as hard money?
Yeah, and arbitrage the interest.
That's right.
And still get that principal pay down. Yep. So, I mean, it's a gold mine. And for someone like me, I understand the power of this, and maybe some of our newer listeners probably won't, but anyone that's been in the business for, even a couple years, and they've tried to find money and source money from other places, they will realize what a gold mine this is. Yeah. Being able to have that $600,000 at your disposal, I mean, that's huge, especially at the interest rate. You can't borrow money from the bank
right
at that interest rate. You can't. Right. Like, where are you going to go? Like, you could have the best credit in the world.
Even if it was 4% amortized over 30 years, I mean, that's certainly better than hard money rates.
Way, way better, yeah.
And you already know where the money's coming from rather than going and, you know, talking to hard money lenders. And
The money's sitting in an escrow account waiting for you to use it.
That's right. And you will feel some pressure to use it because you get to pay for it, whether it's being used or not. And so now you're looking to try to figure out ways to use that money.
Yeah.
Here's another best part. There's only two reasons why someone would want to do the substitution of collateral. One is that they like getting interest on their equity, and you know, they feel like it's a safe investment. So that's first.
Yep.
Probably even a bigger one is they don't want to pay their capital gains taxes. And the way that this is set up is that they're paying a portion of their taxes over the amount of time that we're doing this.
Right.
When I pay them, all the rest of their taxes come due. Isn't it possible that one or both or everyone that I ever work with that like what we're doing, and when it's time to pay them off, they say, don't pay me off yet.
Yep.
Let's keep doing this.
And I don't want the tax consequence.
That's right.
Now, I would add a third to that is that maybe they don't know how to go out there and find these deals to move their money to other properties, or maybe they just don't want to do that and they want to be more of a passive investor.
So I would tell you that the first investor does, he's got quite a bit of money and he does have other investments. So he does. And he came back to us and he's like, look, I don't want to get cashed out, but normally when I lend out money, I lend it at 8%. So if you want to do some additional things with this, then I want that additional 5.5% that I should get. That's why, hey, okay, then let's use your money for rehab, for down payments, and properties that we can, you know, where we talked about when I did that reverse mortgage and I paid out that the equity to the seller, and then I borrowed the rehab. Well, that's where I borrowed it from.
Yeah.
So now I'm paying 5.5% additional money on, you know, it was $45,000. What is that over 90 days? I'll tell you, it's kind of crazy that you wouldn't do this. So it would cost me $618 in interest for 90 days to borrow that $45,000 and use his money, make it work. And so I don't have to take my money and put it in deals. You know,
right.
Investors, and I know you're guilty of this because we just talked about it. And I am too. I do it as well on occasion. Sometimes it's easier just to use your own money. It's quicker. But if you do it consistently, guess what? You run out of money.
Yeah.
And now you're stuck, right? When I'm using someone else's money, I might run out of their money, but I still got mine.
Yeah. Yep, exactly.
I'm happy to pay him $618 for 3 months of use of his money.
Yeah. Yeah, it's really a no-brainer. So, well, I think we should wrap it up then,
yep.
Jeff. So again,
I hope that made sense.
It did to me. And I think just the lesson here is, if you practice and use creative financing offers daily, like you do in your business, you're going to find eventually someone that's willing to lend you money. And have it secured by real estate and substitute the collateral. And then once you have access to that money, you can move that money around to do other creative deals. And that's really what you've done here. A number of times. I don't know that you really made a big mistake here. I mean, there was some miscommunication with the townhome seller.
It wasn't necessarily that I made a mistake. We had a problem.
Yeah.
And that problem was we were not, that he thought one thing, I thought another. And to be honest, I didn't read my paperwork that well, because it's in our note and it wasn't clear to me. And The title company wasn't sure what they were supposed to do, but everyone was on a different page here.
Yeah. Yep. But regardless, you were able to still talk to him and convince him that it's, you know, it'd be better to move his money somewhere else. Even though you, I guess technically, you still had a trustee securing his interest, but the title company could have, you know, tried to get that cleared out, which they should have already.
Well, and they realized that, but what he kept saying to me was that, Jeff, I don't understand. I still have a trust deed. It's not my, I can't give you authorization. You should just be able to go get that money and do with it what you want, because I'm secured against this townhome. And the title company's like, no, you don't have the right to come get this money. And he does have to give you permission. And that's like, that's why the meeting had to happen, because, you know, I'm being told I can just go get this money. They're telling me I can't go get this money. And then when I tell him, he's upset by it because he's not understanding. And I'm like, I need the money. So can we figure this out?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And that's, you know, good for him for working with you as well. Cause he can.
Oh yeah. Super nice guy.
Yeah,
I expect that we'll continue to do. And I asked him if he would be open to doing the same thing that the other guy does, you know, lend in different ways. He is not. He does not. He wants a first trust deed. That's what he wants, and that's okay. That's fine.
Yeah. Yep. Cool. Well, that's kind of how you turn problems into opportunities, really. You had a problem with this note coming due, and you had this money that wasn't being used, and so you were able to reallocate that money from a no yield to a much higher yield.
Yep.
So, but anyway, guys, again, if this is a little above you or above your real estate knowledge at this point, don't be intimidated by it. Again, if you're using and practicing creative finance or owner finance, you will eventually learn this in the future.
Go back, listen to Substitution of Collateral.
Yeah, and that's a really good episode.
And don't worry, sometimes it doesn't always matter that you fully grasp all the concepts. It's about that you start thinking about what is possible.
Yes.
It's your mindset shift.
Yeah, and that's probably the best point we can make there, Jeff, is that if you just shift your mindset as to what you can do or what your possibilities are for using this money or being creative, that's the ultimate point, I think. So if you get nothing else from this episode, just know that this is possible out there. And if you know it's possible, then at some point you can use it.
Yeah.
Great point, Jeff. All right, guys, I hope you've enjoyed this episode. I know it's kind of multi-layered, very complicated deal structure here, but...
Hey, we're coming up on 100 episodes, Jonathan. We got to get a little creative on what we talk about.
Yeah, we do. And that's definitely creative. So, guys, you can reach us on our hotline at 877-409-8090. We've had a couple people call in recently with some properties that they're looking at, and they're like, hey, I need help structuring something on this. So we're trying to set up, you know, phone calls with those people to get them on the podcast so that we can present the deal to Jeff and say, hey, how would you structure terms on this particular deal? So guys, if you're out there and you're looking at a specific deal and you're like, man, this would be awesome to create some terms on, I just don't know how, give us a call on our hotline, because we can help you out and we can make, you know, content for our audience out there. We can put you on the show. Or if you don't want to be on the show, that's fine too. Just, you know, present us with all the numbers and the figures of the deal, and I'll present that to Jeff, and we'll create an offer, you know, in real time on our podcast, and we'll get back to you with that offer, so you can send that out, and we'll just follow up with you, see how that went. But anyway, if you have something like that, please, please, please give us a call, because we're looking for content that we can share with our audience, right, to our listeners, that gives them value. And and it will help you out at the same time. So 877-409-8090. You can also text Creative Financing or CFP to that number, and it'll give you access to a special video that Jeff did on creating offers step by step and finding the exit strategy for a single family home. So really good video. You can see his LOI there as well. So yeah, text CFP or Creative Financing to our hotline number. And then anything you want to add, Jeff, on that?
Yeah, it was really interesting. I had a very experienced investor contact me a couple of days ago and said he's finally realized that they're wholesalers, right? Traditional wholesalers. And they finally realized that they were throwing away a lot of their leads that potentially could be something if he learned how to use owner financing. And he said, I'm willing to pay you to consult with me and my acquisition person. And I said, I'm happy to consult, but I would tell you there's so many different ways that you can use owner financing. You've got to figure out what directions you want to go in. And the best way I can tell you to do that is start listening to this podcast. And, you know, start at the beginning, because if you're not familiar with some of the strategies, you got to learn strategies, you got to learn how to use a financial calculator. But start learning, start listening, start thinking. Now, if you still need help, I'm happy to give you some direction. But, you know, but we've been talking lately about all these different ways. You know, my thing is I like to create financing directly through the seller. We were talking to Mike Cowper a couple episodes ago where he was borrowing money. He was the owner of a property and he was using owner financing to get even a better rate of return on an investment he already owned. There's so many different ways. Don't get caught up with that. Hey, Jeff does it this way, I should do it the same way. It's again about starting to get your mind thinking about what options are available to you.
Right. Yep. Mindset is key to anything, really. Okay, guys. You can find us on you can find all of our episodes on the web at www.thecreativefinancingpodcast.com. We're on Facebook at The Creative Financing Podcast, YouTube, The Creative Financing Show. So you can find us in all those places. Hit us up, leave us a review. Also, if you're interested, I don't know if we mentioned that, if you're interested in Jeff's apprenticeship program, give us a call on our hotline and mention that specifically.
Perfect.
Okay, guys, till next time, go out there and create some terms.
Thanks for listening to the Creative Financing Podcast. We need your feedback to continue to bring you the best strategies in creative financing. So please subscribe, rate, and review the show on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. We greatly appreciate your ear, and please pass this on. Until next time, create some terms. This show offers general information on creative financing strategies and real estate investments. Nothing contained herein should be considered personal, legal, or financial advice. Every state has individual laws governing the use and type of documents used to execute strategies discussed herein. You should consult with a local licensed real estate broker and attorney before relying on any information contained herein. Information is not guaranteed, and opinions of the guests are their own. Profits are not guaranteed, and there's always inherent risk in real estate investing.